Well, good morning. Well, good morning. Well, I was beginning the week if anybody's awake here. I know you lost an hour last night sleeping, but that's no excuse. Come on. I only slept about 3 hours the night before. Boy, I was, by the time 9 o'clock came around last night, I was wore out and sitting there and watching a TV program. I sat all day in my office yesterday. I didn't come out of my office till 9 o'clock last night. I was working on some stuff, and my wife said, let's sit down and watch something with her. I can't remember what she was watching now. I was about asleep. And 9 o'clock comes, and I'm sitting there, and 10 o'clock comes, and she got up, and she turned the clock to 11 o'clock. I said, I'm going to bed. I never go to bed at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, you know. I'm one of those guys at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes even on a Saturday night, because I just can't sleep. But I slept, man, until 3:30, and I was awake until 5 o'clock, and then I slept again until 6:30. I tell you, I got a good night's sleep last night, you know. That's a good night's sleep for me. If I can get 5 hours, that's a good night's sleep. I used to function on 4 hours, and there was one time, a lot of people don't believe it, but one time years ago when I was working in Ohio, it was midnight shift, and then I was working swing shift, and then I was working midnights, and I was working shift and a half, so I was working 12 hours a night, and my car broke down. I had to work on my car, and then something else happened the next day. I had to work on something, and I only got about an hour of sleep every day for 5 days in a row, you know. And by that time, man, and then the last day come, I thought, man, I'm going to catch up on my sleep, and I'm going to sleep, man, I'm going to go to bed, I'm going to lay down, I'm going to sleep 8 hours, and 3.5 hours I was awake. Amen. I've been like that my whole life, you know, so ever since I've been, and when I was a teenager, I could sleep. I didn't want to get up, you know. Yeah. Well, go with me to the book of Ephesians this morning, and I believe we're going to be Ephesians in chapter 3 for a few moments. Ephesians in chapter 3. Let me mute my phone. I don't want it ringing in the middle of the service. I've had that happen before. Sometimes if you don't do it, it'll ding, because I get these, you know, these, what they call them, announcements, yeah, notifications, and yeah, none of them are important, you know. Even if my wife would text me, it's not important, you know. So it doesn't really matter, you know. So Ephesians chapter 3, and look with me at down at verse 7 and verse 8, and we're going to look there through a number of verses after that later on. But he said, wherever I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I just want to make a statement as I begin here. In fact, if you're writing notes down, you might want to write this thought down. The title of this, if you want to, would be called, What Kind of Spirit Do You Have? What kind of spirit do you have? And Paul makes a statement here. He says, I am the less, am less than the least of all saints. He says, I am as far down on a totem pole as you could go as a saint. He says, they are much higher than I am. He says, I'm not counted anything. So Paul had a very humble spirit. What kind of spirit do you have? We need a humble spirit, number one. In Psalm chapter 10, verse 12, it says, Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Forget not the humble. And so he's saying, God, just bless me, Father, and don't forget those who lower themselves, not their standards, lower themselves to be a servant of others. Amen. We need to humble ourselves to be a servant of the of others and to others. Psalm chapter 10, verse 17 says, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. He listens to the humble. Amen. He listens to what they have to say. He wants to hear from them. He said, wherefore he saith, God, resist the humble, forget not the humble, then resist the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart, thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. He will listen to those who are humble in spirit to speak to him. Now, he'll listen to you anytime, amen, but he wants you to be humble. He wants you to really come before him, humbling yourself before him, that he might be able to give you and to help you where your need is in your life at that very moment as a born-again believer, saved by the very grace of God. And James, of course, a very classic scripture that most of us know. Joshua, can I get you a Josh to hand me a water down there? I forgot to bring it up here. And he says in James chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 10, but he giveth more grace. Thank you, Josh. He giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And he shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of God. Now, I like that first verse again, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Resisteth the proud. Amen. But giveth grace unto the humble. And I'm sure all of us have been proud of something at one time or another in our own lives, things that we can accomplish. And we think that there is none like us. You know, we are the best. We are the greatest, you know. What was it? Muhammad Ali used to make that statement, I am the greatest, you know. And he did lose a fight or two now and then, you know, and over his boxing career. But you can be the greatest all you want, but how does God see you? He wants you to be humble in his eyes as a believer in Jesus Christ. And we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to come to him with a humble spirit, recognizing that, what's it mean, come before God with a humble spirit, recognizing that you are nothing without God in your life. You are zero. You are nothing without God in your life. Nothing. And boy, we need to see ourselves as that as believers in Jesus Christ. And you can do nothing without God being involved in your life. Well, you can do a lot of things, but you're not going to be humble and you're not going to serve the Lord. Amen. And so I'm talking about serving the Lord. I'm talking about being humble before a holy God, that you might serve him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all your mind, and all of your strength. Not only a humble spirit, but we also will look into the scriptures in verse 9. Through verse 11, he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here I wrote down that we need to have a determined spirit, a determined spirit. One that is determined, we ought to be determined to do right, amen. And we ought to be determined to obey God. We ought to be determined to be humble and to serve our fellow man, and to serve fellow believers, to do what we can by the grace of God, to be able to show people how they might need to be, how they need to be saved. I just listening to a missionary story. There's a series of 15 separate messages that I have written by a guy by the name of Otto Koning. I gave you one this morning for a DVD player. Share that if somebody else, after you're done, share it with them. And if you want to make a copy, you feel free to. But I gave Dave one last week, your pastor one last week, and I don't know if he listened to it yet or not. But I was listening to one here on the way up here this morning, and it's a good, I got them in a pack in my van, and I listen to them when I'm traveling. And I listened to this missionary talking this morning about when he went to the mission field in Papua New Guinea. And he was on the southeast side of the island, which would be a lot of Indonesian, a lot of Muslims over there. And he was with probably one of the roughest tribes in the country. In fact, these folks were known as cannibals and headhunters. And he grew up in Holland. And he was talking this morning as I'm traveling up here. He's talking about how he reached, his mission wanted him to, back in that day, I'm not sure how that mission with you is now, but back in that day, when you went to the field, you had to immediately begin Bible translation. So you had to learn the language and then translate into, well, not all Bible, but you had to translate into so you could understand the language, and then they would take the Bible and do John chapter 3:16, then they'd do the book of Mark, then they'd do something else. And after 8 years, he had not done any of that, you know. And they wanted to know why not. And he says, because I've been busy. And what his busy was that tribe. The way he reached that tribe was he started fixing all their tools. And when he fixed one tool, the next day he had 100 natives outside his house wanting to fix all their tools, you know, handles and blades and shovels. And he said, I never saw such broken stuff in my life. But because of that, he said, now I did this for you. Now would you do something for me? And that's how they function. And they said, what you want us to do for you, Tuan. And that's what they call him, Tuan. He said, you come to church next Sunday and bring your family with you, bring your wife and bring your children. And they would, and now he started three churches, but still had not done a translation, you know. But yet he started three churches, and he was about 10 years ahead of any other missionary that was out there on the field at that time. So, I mean, it's interesting to me that he had a determined spirit to be a help to people, and that's how he reached them, and he had men getting saved. By this time, he had 10 preachers that he was training for the ministry, and some that were already filling in the pulpit in his church in an 8, 9, 10-year period. So you can't, you know, what was he doing? He was determined to start a church, determined to do right, determined to follow God, determined to help people that it might gain them to be able to come to the house of God and get saved by the very grace of God. I thought it's pretty interesting, amen, to me. The Bible says determined means this, it's a strong-minded, resolute, gritty, single-minded, unwavering, firm, dogged, indomitable, untiring, heroic attitude, amen? You are just, no matter, nothing's going to stop you from accomplishing what you want to accomplish. And no, if it breaks, you're going to fix it. My uncle used to tell me, he'd say, Mike, my dad died when I was 2, but my uncle was a big influence in my life. He wasn't even really my uncle, you know, but he was married to my aunt, who was married to my real uncle one time and got a divorce, and then Uncle John married her. And Uncle John told me many, many years ago, he said, Mike, he says, if it's broke and you can't fix it, then it ain't worth fixing. So he said, get determined, do what you need to do to make it work, you know. And there's been a few times where many times I took his advice. And if I couldn't fix it, I'd take it to him. He said, that is unrepairable. I said, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure that you couldn't do it because I could not do it, you know. So determined spirit. Another word that comes to mind in being determined is purposeful, focused, determined, decisive, resolute, firm, fixed, decided, persistent. Amen. We need to determine, we need to be persistent in our soul winning, persistent in our visiting people, persistent in our witness, persistent in talking to the people and giving the gospel out, persistent in handing out tracts, persistent in our Christian life, dogmatic as to how we are going to live our lives as a child of God. And when something comes our way that ought not to be involved in our life, we ought to be persistent and consistent, not inconsistent, but consistent to do what's right, determined to do what's right, and be dogged about that in our mind and have a determined spirit. Psalm 17:3 says, Thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. David says, I am purposed more than that. I'm not going to, my mouth, he said, my mouth will not transgress. You know what he's talking about? What's in the heart's going to come out of here. Amen. Amen. So David's talking about where his heart's at with the Lord. His heart was in the right relationship. And we need to do that. We need to make sure that we are right where God would have us to be, that we would not transgress the teaching and the things of God. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. He was determined. purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. David was determined that he was not going to defile himself with the king's meat, the stuff or the wine, the wicked stuff that he was not supposed to partake of, that he was not supposed to have. David said, I'm determined. And so he convinced the prince of the eunuchs. What did he do? Brought him pottage every day, you know. And it'd be like eating porridge every day. I don't think I've ever had porridge. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't like oatmeal. You couldn't get a spoon of oatmeal in my mouth. I am not telling you, and now I love it. Sometimes at night, my wife and I will be sitting there, and she'll say, I feel like a bowl of oatmeal. I say, put enough on for me too, amen. I'm not talking about this stuff that comes in a package. It's all flavor. I'm talking about the real stuff, you know. And you want to flavor it, then put some brown sugar on top of it, you know. Throw a spoon of peanut butter in there, try that one. I don't get into that, my son does, you know. My wife don't mind that. And then, but I like mine with a little brown sugar and some milk on it, you know. I like getting mine like that. I like to mix it up, and I like to eat it. And now I like oatmeal, you know. But back then, I was determined that you weren't gonna, you could not put one flake in my mouth. I am not kidding you, you know. And when I was in Papua New Guinea a number of years ago, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ for this fellow I was talking about, I was up in the mountain tribes, and I was with a missionary there in Karawagi. And he came, he says, you come down to the house in the morning and have breakfast with us. I was in our guest house. And I said, okay, I'll be down there. So I walked down to the house, and he says, now we have oatmeal. I said, I love oatmeal. He said, now we do it different than you. He said, we don't cook it. I said, you what? He said, no. Now listen to me. Just a bowl with oatmeal in it and then milk. And it was powdered milk that they mixed up because they didn't have real milk there, you know. So they had powdered milk and mixed it up, and they'd put cold milk on it. And then put the papaya and a banana and a pineapple and a kiwi. And on top, I want to tell you what. Man alive, if you took one flake of that and put it on top of your head, you'd lick your tongue would lick your brains out trying to get to it. Amen. I'm just saying, it was something else. It was good. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according to as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We need to purpose in our heart that we are going to do right financially. Amen? Do right financially. I don't know, you fellas, I don't know, you know, I know you have worked, and if you work or if you get money, I taught my children, let me tell you what I taught my kids. But and I don't know what they did after they left the home. I don't question them, you know. I know they give because they mention that tithing to me sometimes, that what they're doing. I don't know what else they do, but I taught them when they were just kids, and they only got $3 a week allowance back then to tithe. So they tithed on their allowance. And at the same time, I taught them how to give missions. So out of $3, Miss Jamie, they gave to missions, you know. And then, of course, when they got older, the allowance went up, you know. And then when they got older, the allowance went up. And I'm glad they're not at home now, amen, let me tell you. I couldn't afford them today, amen, with what they want today for allowance, you know. And our deal was, if you don't do your chores or something, we would find them. We would find things that would that we would, if they didn't pick it up, it'd go in a box. They were not allowed to get to that box unless they paid for it. You know, so yeah, it's just your mom has. Am I giving your mom some ideas? I'm just wondering over here, you know. Sister, you might get rich, you know. Just saying, you know. Give it a shot, you know. Make your husband do what he's supposed to do. Charge him, amen. So we need a humble spirit. We need a determined spirit. We need a bold spirit. A bold spirit. Now, boldness does not mean being mean. Understand that. Does not mean being ugly towards somebody. Boldness goes along with determined, means you are going to be bold in your stance, and you are not going to back down. Learn why you will not back down. Just don't say because the Bible says, say because the Bible says this. Learn the scriptures, amen. Learn the word of God. Be bold on the things of the truth of the very word of God. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a what? Lion. Righteous are bold as a lion. And how bold is a lion? Well, let me tell you, they are, I don't think I'd want to come face to face with one. I remember when I was a kid going to the circus. Have you ever been to a circus back now? The old circus, the new ones, they do things a lot different. The new ones now, the animal rights people are out there and they take all the fun away. You know, if a lion tamer gets in a cage, they don't want him using a whip. They don't want him doing anything. And they don't want the lion eating him. So I think they're going to put a bar between them and the lion, you know. Hey, you know, I'm just saying, when I was a kid, I remember them lions in that cage in the middle of the arena that they would set up. And the guy would have three or four lions there, and then they have a chair, you know, and then he'd have a whip, and he'd go like this with that whip, you know. And then what amazed me is them lions would obey him, but if they got a little bit too close, he'd put that chair out and whip, and they'd just back where they're supposed to be. I don't think he ever hit one of them, Miss Jamie, you know, but the stinking animal rights people, good night, they take all the fun out of everything, amen. So to me, give that lion tamer a gun, and if that lion comes after him, let him shoot the stinking thing, amen. It taught the lion a lesson, didn't it, amen? I'm just saying. But be bold. We ought to be bold. He said, be bold like a lion. 1 Thessalonians 2:2 says, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, and ye know at Philippi we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. He said, boy, they were against us, but we spoke boldly the truth of the very word of God. And sometimes when you are bold, sometimes people will think that you're being mean. Amen? Because we need to be bold. We really do. We need to be strong and bold, you know. And so I don't like it when my wife is bold with me. Amen? Just saying, amen. And I don't like to admit when she is that she's right. Let me tell you that. That's a hard one for me to admit that she's right, you know, and that she's right and I'm wrong. Amen. That's hard to get out, amen. But sometimes we are bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. He said, man, they were against us, but we still boldly spoke the very word of God. You know, I haven't done much of it anymore because of where I'm going and because of physical. I can't get out like I did sometimes when I'm out preaching, but man, for a number of years, especially at one place in New York, a couple places in New York where we go, I'd be street preaching. I used to love it, amen. And Watkins Glen, New York, was one of my favorite places to go. And the reason was because usually the weekend I was there was NASCAR weekend, and they have a NASCAR track there. And you get the town is loaded with people. You know, you can't hardly walk down the street without bumping into somebody. And if you stand, if you're going to street preach, we would stand. I'd stand at one end of town, the preacher would be the other end of town. And there'd be a stoplight, two stoplights. He'd get the one, I'd get the other one. The people would stop, then you preach at him. You just preach real quick, you know. You just make a mention of a verse and then go, you know, with it, you know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you want to get saved and know how you can have everlasting life, just step up here for a few moments and come and see me, and I'll give you something to talk to you about Jesus Christ. Amen. And then the light changes. There they go. And then you get a group of bikers. About 20 or 30 motorcycles come up there and they stop at the light, and you start to preach and go, you know, bringing the thing. So we just go to town, amen, and that's with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and sometimes with contention. But you still give it out there. I didn't, after they start revving, you stinking dogs, don't do that. No, you don't say that. You just keep on preaching, amen. I used to do that on the CB when I was traveling. We used to have CB radios in our trucks, you know, and And then you got the cell phone, so I didn't need a CB radio anymore, you know. And but when I had a CB in the truck, I'd get on there on channel 19, and I'd turn that CB up a little bit, and I'd hit that handle, and I'd start street preaching. And then I'd just shut that off. And most of the time, once in a while, I get a pretty rude remark back. I mean, I didn't do it when my wife was in the van, because sometimes the guys will cuss you out real quick, you know. But once in a while, I get somebody holler back and say, "It's about time somebody let us have the truth, amen. You stinking guys need to get saved out here, and you know it. Listen to what this man had to say, amen." So, as always, you just be bold. Don't be afraid. And I could really be bold then, because they didn't know who was doing it, amen. Until I had the sign on the back of my truck that says, "Prepare to meet thy God," amen. Then they knew where it was coming from, you know. Yeah. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," they didn't go to no teaching place to learn. Paul knew. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul had been taught, amen. But these guys did not know anything. They just knew the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, "Unlearned, ignorant men." They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Why? Because of the boldness of Peter and John. They taught like they knew something, amen. What? Guess what? They did know something. They knew more than those who were taught knew something. They knew what the word of God was. In Acts 4:29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word," that with all boldness. And boy, I tell you what, that's not just for preachers. No. It's just not for missionaries or evangelists. That's or Sunday school teachers. That's for all of us to be able to be bold in giving the very word of God out to the lost, sin-sick world. Verse 30 of the same of Acts chapter 4, 30 and 31 says, "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. With boldness, amen. So we need to be bold, have a bold spirit, a humble spirit, a determined spirit, a bold spirit. And then go look at verse 14 with me. He says this, "For this cause I bowed my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that we might have a strengthened spirit." You know, we all get down sometimes, amen? Don't we all get down sometimes? And sometimes you just feel like nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms, amen? Nice little skinny ones, great big fat ones, I'm going to eat some worms, amen? So, you ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you feel like quitting. Maybe you feel like giving up. Maybe you feel like some boxers have done a throw in the towel. Yeah, and I don't blame them, amen, the way they were beaten half to death in the ring. I think I'd throw the towel in too, you know. And I always thought myself as a scrapper, but I run into a lot of guys I wouldn't have met. I went into some women I didn't want to meet in the back alley. You know, I tell you what, I think they would have whooped me in a heartbeat, amen. I mean, they talked mean, acted mean, looked mean, were mean. I mean, they were mean, Miss Jamie, sort of like, you know, just saying, sister, amen. I think if your husband is here, I could get an amen out of that. A strengthened spirit. So he says in chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now, how do we renew the inward man day by day? You might get up and you might think the world is falling apart. You might think your life is done. You might think you can't handle it anymore. Go to the Lord. I tell you what, man, I tell you, I love the book. In fact, I'm preaching out of the book of Psalms this morning in the morning service. Now, studying yesterday, I got a nice outline out of Psalm 57, and I was studying. The first point became a message. Amen. So I got 7 points out of the first point. So I'm not going to preach that, man. I'm going to preach the second one I wrote yesterday, you know. And because as I was studying, I'm thinking, man, this is good. This is good. This is good. No, but man, this is good. And this even looks better. And this is good, you know. So I just started writing all that. I started writing all that stuff down and came up with another message I'll be using in the morning service. But you get your Psalms. Man, when I'm in the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms helps me. It gives me strength. It shows me where I need to be as a believer in Jesus Christ and what I need to do, and it lifts me up. So a strengthened spirit. And he said, I faint not. He said, but outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That means every day, I'm getting to be renewed in the Spirit of God through the very truth of the Word of God. Good morning, Pastor. Glad you made it over here. Well, I was hoping you was watching, because I was just talking about how mean your wife has been to you in your life, you know, and I thought I'd get an amen if you were sitting there, you know.
Hey, Mark,
just take that bush. Back up again?
Yeah, back up.
Take that bush. So we need a humble spirit, a determined spirit, a bold spirit, a strengthened spirit. And then look at verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 3 with me. Verse 17 says, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. We need a knowledgeable spirit, a knowledgeable spirit. Now, how do you get a knowledgeable spirit? Well, you know, it starts at salvation. As soon as you get saved by the very grace of God, you got knowledge of how you got saved. Amen? I mean, you know, Pastor, when I first got saved, I'll never forget, I didn't know a Bible verse. I didn't know anything. But it's going to be a rough day, I can tell. Amen. Thank you, brother.
I'm on meds. Okay?
Yeah. Well, what's your excuse every other week? Amen. You're going to hear that for a long time. I'm on meds. Don't hold me. No, yeah. So, but what I did know was this. I started witnessing to every guy I was in the prison with at that time when I got saved. I was in a little place then, getting ready to transfer to a bigger prison. But there was only about, maybe 40 of us in this one. But I started witnessing to all of them when I got saved. And because I knew if Jesus could save me and make it, I knew what he did in my heart. I knew it, man. I know we don't go by feelings, preacher, but I felt it. I felt it, amen. I tell you, I knew it. When I got up, I knew God saved me. And if I know that, then I'm able, now I've got knowledge. I didn't know Bible, but I had knowledge as to what I did to get saved by the very grace of God. So I just started witnessing all these guys, telling them everything else. Then I started reading my Bible, amen. And then you get a little more knowledge. Then you read your Bible, you get a little more knowledge. And I still ain't, listen, I'm still not the sharpest tack in the box. I want you to know that. I know that, amen. I got dear friends out there, your pastor and other dear friends have got, I know some guys have got 2 or 3 doctorates. I heard that missionary in that CD I was telling you about, he made a mention this morning. He said, this guy has so many doctorates, he started calling him Fahrenheit. Amen. So... Yeah, I thought that was pretty good, amen. So, yeah. I said, if these Fahrenheit, what's that make me, amen? I'm just wondering on the scale. Must be minus 32 somewhere, you know, so. Yeah. Well, a knowledgeable spirit. Understand and get into the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. And start memorization. Before it gets harder for you to do, amen. Yes, yeah. What? 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 Where was I at? In some cases, dementia might be a good thing. Amen. Just saying. knowledgeable spirit. And then look at verse 20 with me of Ephesians chapter 3. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's have a glorifying spirit. Let's glorify God in all that we do. In all that we do. Now, I'd have to be honest with you, and I'm sure you'd be honest with me too. If where the rubber meets the road, and if I asked each one of you individually, I'm not going to do that. But I'm sure there have been times in your Christian life where you have not glorified God. Amen. I'll guarantee you, it just human nature, the flesh. Amen. How many times have you been angry and then said something? Maybe you realized as soon as you said it, you should not have said that. I had a preacher friend one time, a good friend really is, and not as good of a friend as you, Pastor, but he's a good friend. And I was with him in fact, we were playing golf down in Illinois. But you weren't in Illinois where I was at, at the time. We were playing golf in Illinois, and he starts talking about somebody in his church, and he referred to them as a word that I wouldn't use. Word on how I talked before I was saved. Amen. And he says, oh, pardon my French. I says, I don't think you have to worry about me pardoning you, but maybe you need to ask God. Amen. Because I think, man, and I guarantee that did not glorify God at that moment. And he's a pastor. Brothers preachers, we need to be careful what we say. Amen. And that, not only that, we need to be careful how we say it. I know sometimes we if we're not careful, boy, I know there's been times I've said things when I've said it, I thought, man, I'm not talking about cussing, I'm not talking about swearing, I'm not talking about filthy language, I'm not talking about filthy jokes or anything like that. I'm talking about there have been some times when I've said something and I know immediately as soon as I said it, I should not have said it, and I hurt somebody, I didn't have to say it. I did not have to say it. But that humbled spirit that we looked at a little bit ago, push that out of the way. My pride wants to say what I want to say. And boy, I tell you, if you want a glorifying spirit, push that pride out of the way. Get humble before God. Glorify him in your life. Glorify him in what you're doing. Glorify him in what you're saying. Glorify him in how you're living. Glorify God. Push everything else out of the way. It doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. Doesn't matter. Right. Trust God, walk with God, do right. Oh, amen. How you doing? Haven't seen you for a while, man. I like his smile. God's good, amen. Glorifying spirit. Let's just trust God. Let's do it his way. Let's be determined. So just end up with a question that I began with as we started for the title of this message is, what kind of spirit do you have? What kind of spirit do you have? I don't know where you're at in your Christian walk. I really don't. Maybe as I close in prayer, the Lord spoke to your heart and you feel like you have a need to step and go to the platform and pray, the pulpit. Why don't you do that? All right, as I begin, if you need to come, why don't you just come right now? Just get up and come. Let God do in your heart what he wants to do. Just get up and come. Get up and come. Father, I thank you for these that slipped out and come forward. Father, you know the heart. God, you know the desire. I ask that you help them, Father, as they determine in their lives to be obedient to you, and that their spirit will be one that is calling upon you, Father, and doing what it needs to do to be able to be right with you, and not in their own eyes, Father, but in your eyes. Sometimes, Father, we do things because we think it's right in our own eyes, but God, we know it's not. Help us to honor and glorify you, Father, now. We'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' precious and holy loving name. Amen.